The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion for Remembrance Sunday. And in a couple of moments, we are going to be taking part in our act of remembrance. But first of all, this morning, I wanted to thank our Craiga crafters for the fabulous display of poppies. And a huge amount of work has gone into decorating the hall for this very special day. And we want to thank everybody who has done such an incredible job. Andy was also involved in decorating, and he's not with us this morning because he's leading two services for remembrance at the War Memorial and later at the American Cemetery. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen most of our regular activities are on this week. I just wanted to remind people that the evening service this evening is in the upper hall, and also to mention that on Friday, the funeral service for Mrs. Irene Richardson will be at 12:30 in the Church of the Pentecost on Mount Marion Avenue. Also wanted to mention advance notice of our Advent Craft Fair, Christmas Craft Fair, on Saturday the 2nd of December between 10:30 and 12:30. And we look forward to a lovely morning for that. Also to mention that on Friday week, that's Friday the 25th, our Messy Church will be taking place here in the church hall at 3:00. And all are welcome to Messy Church. I'm going to ask everybody, please, if you would stand for our act of remembrance.
They shall grow not old, as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
Thank you. we continue our worship as we sing the hymn 509, Your Kingdom Come, O God. The service of Holy Communion begins on page 201 for those who are following in the prayer book, and all the responses will appear on the screen. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we stand for the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, We worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today. Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated, Jeff is going to bring our epistle reading and Gillian our gospel reading.
The epistle is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors, through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to John chapter 15, beginning at verse 9.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
during the singing of our next hymn. The children and young people will be leaving us for Sunday school in the hall, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together the hymn 224, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we welcome everybody to our service of remembrance this morning, and we welcome those who are tuning in online in various places around the world this morning, and as we gather for what I'm always conscious is a very significant and important service, it's not an easy Sunday on all sorts of levels. We think of the hundreds of millions of lives that were lost in two world wars and in conflict since, including the 3,720 people who died in our own troubles in this land. We think of soldiers and civilians, of those who survived with life-altering injuries to their physical and mental health, and the trauma and the pain that society has lived with. And it is a difficult thing to stop
and to remember, because those wounds are so deep. Every single one of us, I would imagine, in this room will know people who have been affected either directly or indirectly. And it is a hard task as a preacher to make sense of such immense suffering. Very often people look to you for answers, and sometimes you don't have any. But as we worship together this morning, even in the time that we are together, innocent people are losing their lives in Israel and Gaza, in Ukraine and Russia, and in many other parts of the world less documented in the news. And so on all sorts of levels, it's quite a grim and discouraging picture. And yet I wonder this morning if there is a unique tool that Christian people might draw upon to bring meaning into all the suffering that is beamed into our homes on the daily news bulletin. Sometimes, to be honest, people can't really handle anymore. They don't watch the news anymore, and they find solace in sport or light entertainment because all the other stuff is too frightening to comprehend. And so we tend to retreat in on ourselves and ignore what is going on in the hope that it will never come to that where we are. Wonder what you consider to be the most important truth that you have learned in your life up to this point. Maybe you have been given some incredible wisdom about resilience or about how to cope with what life can throw at you. Or maybe you've picked up something along the way about might or strength. Or maybe you've picked up a practical skill like learning to drive or even how to work your new smartphone. But for St. Paul, the truth that topped all other truths, as far as he was concerned, was this: nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It sounds very simple. Indeed, it sounds amazing, doesn't it? But if we were to be honest, do we think that in fact some things might separate us from the love of God? Paul himself throws out a few in our epistle reading that might cause us to wonder sometimes. He talks about things like trouble and hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. And those are the sorts of things that can certainly fill the landscape in times of war and conflict. But St. Paul goes on to say that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, height or depth, or nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we might be sitting in our seats this morning and wondering how he can say such things as we look at a world where even acts of remembrance have become politicized and used to polarize society, as we've seen in this past week. But I want to offer a tool from the Bible that might help us in these days. And it's a tool that's not spoken about too much, even in church. But it is a tool called lament. And I've been reading a really powerful book on this subject called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by a pastor called Mark Vrogop. And Mark writes this book from a place of deep suffering in his own life because he lost a child to stillbirth. But what he wants to suggest about lament is that lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And lament asks two basic questions. And I think these are questions that are very much in the forefront of our minds as we see what is happening in the world at the present time. And the two questions are these. Where are you, God? And if you love me, why is this happening? And so we could think of lament as being the transition between pain and promise, or part of the path from heartbreak to hope. And we get many examples of lament in the scriptures, but particularly in the Psalms, where at least one third of the 150 Psalms are Psalms of lament. And lament usually involves speaking or addressing God. It usually involves a complaint. It involves a request. But it also involves an expression of trust and or praise. But it is hard to be honest with God like that in the midst of our pain. And if we were to try and visualize for a second, imagine if you were a parent and you had allowed your teenage child to go to a music and peace festival in the desert on October the 7th. And Hamas gunmen had slaughtered your child or their friends. Or imagine if you lived in a kibbutz in Israel and Hamas gunmen stormed your kibbutz and took your relatives hostage, old men and women, young children. How would you ever get beyond the desire for revenge? Or if you were to flip that scenario another way and you lived in Gaza and there was no food, but you went out in hope to the bakery where people were queuing. But when you were out, an explosion hit your apartment building and your wife and your children were killed. Where would you take that grief? And lament doesn't always lead us to an immediate solution. It doesn't give us a quick or a timely answer. But what lament does is it initially turns to God in our pain and asks him questions. And you know, honest, humble, pain-filled questions are part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It is humbly turning to God with our questions through the pain rather than silent despair, giving God the silent treatment, refusing to talk to him anymore. Because despair lives under the hopeless resignation that God doesn't care, that he doesn't hear,
and that nothing is going to change. And so people who believe that very quickly stop, pray, and give up. But lament is something different. It's the song that you sing believing that one day God will answer and restore. And those kinds of songs are possible only if you believe that God is truly good. And very often our feelings tell us otherwise, especially if we are in a place of deep personal suffering. But lament invites us to look again at the character of God, to look at his faithfulness, his mercy, his forgiveness, his promise never to leave us, no matter what happens in our lives. And so it is able to redirect weeping people to what is true, despite the valley that they're walking through. So on this difficult day of remembrance, we ask God those hard questions as we turn to him in prayer for our world. And we acknowledge our lostness and our hopelessness without him. And we beseech him to act as we trust in his character. And maybe that response of silence is indeed the place for those kinds of prayers to form within us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese and for David, our bishop. And we pray today for services of remembrance happening right across the world this day. We pray for the work of chaplains in the armed forces. And we ask that many, including ourselves, who are asking questions about the suffering of the world, might experience the love and the peace of God in acts of worship this day, right across the world. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, and today we cry out to you for those situations of conflict in Gaza and Israel, in Ukraine and Russia, and other less documented situations. Lord, we ask you to have mercy upon us, to comfort and to help the bereaved and injured and traumatized. We ask you to bring wisdom and courage to local and international leaders, and for the grace and patience to broker peace and to heal these lands. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray for those recently bereaved, remembering especially the Richardson family circle on the death of Irene. And as they prepare for her funeral on Friday, we ask you to comfort and to uphold them in their loss. We also bring to God in the quietness this morning
all those known to us who are sick or going through difficult times for all sorts of reasons. May they know the consolation of your presence with them. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And we join together to sing our next hymn, hymn 549, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true
vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroy our death. Rising, you restore our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words."
Amen, amen, amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many.
In a moment or two, we are going to invite people to receive Holy Communion. And as we do so, we just invite people to come up a row at a time. And the church wardens will help us to do that. And as you go back to your seat, if you just go off to the sides and back in, it makes the flow of people a little easier. Draw near and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
God of peace, whose Son Jesus Christ proclaimed the kingdom and restored the broken to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the anguish of the world, and by your healing power, make whole both people and nations, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you for sharing in our worship together on this special Sunday. And just before we close our service, I wanted to say thank you in particular to our bugler, to Philip, and to the technology team, and to those again who have decorated the hall so beautifully and made this such a special day today for us. I also wanted to mention a notice that I omitted to mention at the beginning. As people know, our work is drawing to a close, and on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we hope to be able to restore or return all our prayer books and hymn books, which are currently stored in the choir vestry, into the church. And so the last time we did that, we had a little work party to do that at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. If you're free and you can come, you get a sneak preview of the church, and it would be lovely if you could come and help us. And we are hoping to do that on Wednesday evening. Also wanted to correct myself when I was inviting people to Messy Church on Friday the 25th. It's from 3:30 to 5:30 rather than 3 to 5. So apologies for my error there. We're going to sing our closing hymn as we think about this ultimate act of remembrance in our service of Holy Communion. And we sing together hymn 537, O God, our help in ages past.